My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, to pluck the low-hanging fruit of the literati, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Welcome to the Mike and Judy Show without Mike. I hardly even know what to say because Mike always talks in the beginning and in the middle and the end. But this week we have a special co-host because Mike is off hunting in the woods. Maura Johnston, thank you for being my co-host.
Thank you for asking me, Judy.
You're looking beautiful today.
Oh, well, I try. I try to keep fresh on Sundays, especially when I'm out till 5 in the morning on Saturday. So,
were you really?
I was.
Oh,
I don't
you're
really
under
do
40.
That very often. I am, but not very under 40. So I was out, you know, carousing at bars and walking around Williamsburg. It felt very young.
You're in my neighborhood. You should have called me, but not after 10:30.
Well, I didn't get there until 11. So.
Oh my god! Yeah, whenever anyone asks me to do something, our band goes on at 11 or 12. I'm like, yeah, sorry, I'll buy your record, your records. So, but I'm very excited because we're joined today by Blair Koenig from one of our favorite blogs, STFUParents.com.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Yay.
And her handsome boyfriend and future
so
impregnator,
sweet.
Brian Blessinger.
Where's the calendar?
Blair, you've had your secret identity. Like, you were the anti-superhero heroine. What made you decide to come out finally this week?
Well, I do have a book coming out in April, and I wanted to attach my real name to it. So,
good move.
I'm not a big fan of writing books under, you know, no name or the name B, which is what I've been going as on the blog for a long time. So I went ahead and revealed that information, and when I did, I kind of had to fess up about who I am, and I also was on the Ricky Lake Show, and the New York Post did a spread at the same time, so it was kind of a nice batch of, you know, awareness about who I am, and this book is coming out.
A coming out party.
Yeah, it was a coming out party of sorts.
It gets better.
It does get better.
I know you were a little nervous about coming out because you are kind of a private person, unlike me and Maura, who will like put our pap smears on the
I am kind of weirdly private. Yeah, it's something that people, when I say it, I think that they think I'm being a little bit hypocritical. But I just am not a big fan of sharing too much information about myself. I don't know why.
That's why we have Brian in the studio with
us. Yeah, I'm here to dish the secrets.
The Post story was hilarious because
very salacious.
They called your blog vicious, for one thing, which is ridiculous.
I think that, you know, with this culture of the internet, like, a lot of people, when they just have their words thrown back at them, it's seen as vicious because it's like, why can't you just be nice? But sometimes, you know, you just have to say, hey, this is maybe too much information for you to share with a lot of people at once, as opposed to one-on-one in a conversation or even one-on-three in a conversation.
Right, like this phone photo of my son's giant balls.
Exactly. And
did you miss those posts?
I guess I missed those posts.
They're out there. Yeah, no,
I have some, obviously.
Lots of baby balls.
I'm in my late 30s, and I have friends who have been having children and stuff. And, you know, I think that one thing that is I don't think has been probed yet is just like
probed.
The effects that these that these overshares, like, could you imagine like being in fifth grade and someone coming up to you and being like, well, I mean, this wouldn't happen to us because we're women, but you, like, you know, someone coming up to you and be like, I saw your balls when you were a baby.
Or it's going to start happening. That's exactly the point.
Or more of a real time type of thing where you're saying, where someone says, my mom is friends with your mom. And apparently you got your period yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah. The period thing. I mean, you're so easily embarrassed that when you
I cannot imagine during your period. And the strangest thing is that now there are these period parties and they're being very heavily promoted. And
just go with the flow, Blair.
Exactly. And that's the problem, is that because there are, it's like people are actually capitalizing on this phenomenon of oversharing in this very weird way, and I don't understand it at all.
I mean, I would have died and buried myself if my mother had thrown me a period party.
Well, I mean, I just wanted to die and bury myself when even we had the, you know, the talk in fourth grade. Like, I was just sitting there with my head in my hands and, like, looking at all the products that the school nurse was, like, flinging our way.
And I joke that when I got my period, I told my mother, and she was watching the McLaughlin Group at the time.
Oh, God.
And I said, Mom, I think I got my period. And she was like, can you just go away until I'm done watching this McLaughlin Group episode? And that was pretty much the end of it. So, no
trip to Party City.
That's what I'm saying. I can't really imagine
the enthusiasm
behind it. I don't even relate to, because my parents were never trying to overshare about me, even in a real life context, like on the phone or in person. So I can't imagine them doing that online.
And okay, I need to know, because I've seen so many disgusting things on your blog, and I read it very regularly.
Thanks, Judy.
What is the most disgusting thing you've ever seen?
Sometimes, I mean, the placenta stuff is kind of gross. Oh,
speaking of which, I have cookies for everyone, and they may or may not be made with placenta.
Ooh.
Well,
I like this mystery grab bag.
Exotic food stuff.
The placenta stuff is kind of weird because it feels very medical. You know, it feels like you're looking at like a picture in a medical book. It doesn't feel like you should be looking at someone's insides. I think that with the labor and the C-section, you're sort of seeing like this is the beauty of childbirth, and I don't find it particularly beautiful in that context. But I think that and the poop stuff is really the worst.
But you're discounting the power of a good snot bubble.
A snot bubble can be.
You know what?
Really
they've
gross.
Actually made me get. There was one snot bubble
there's,
that actually made me get.
There's a couple
gag.
On there that if caught by surprise, you can.
The snot bubble to really me is not nearly as gross as the like dripping like mucus snot. Yeah.
Okay, maybe it was the combo of like there's something. And I have a pretty strong stomach, but there were a couple diaper explosions, which I didn't even know that was a thing before.
The poop explosion.
Diaper like the diaper just breaks free.
Oh, Mara.
Mara's obviously not a regular reader. Sorry to bust you.
I am a regular reader. I follow you on Tumblr. No, but it's just, you know, it's the flow of the internet is very
strong. And the weirdest thing is sometimes it's like even the book does not actually show any pictures, which people think is surprising. But I have said, first of all, I don't really feel very comfortable about putting someone's child's shit in paperback. And then aside from that, sometimes the text ones are really gross too. The descriptions can be worse than the picture, honestly.
Especially with all those misspellings and grammatical errors.
Now that is horrific.
That makes me twitch. Yeah. I mean, just like the parents getting into fist fights.
Oh yeah, the drama, the mama drama.
It was funny when you had posted that you were going to be on Ricky Lake, I noticed a couple of commenters, they sort of did the like sanctimony thing without like, oh well, I don't have a television.
Yes, they did. And I try hard to not show bias about that, but I'm like a TV whore, and I know that's a really stupid cliche thing to say, but
she's actually
true.
Been really sad all week because our the soap network on our cable box is kind of out,
and I can't watch episodes
her special
from 19,
friends yeah her
1991 her, 90210 anymore.
I think it's One Tree Hill.
Soul crushing.
Let's be honest.
Well, so yeah, the truth is I watch a lot of television. Most of it is bad television, and when people say I don't have a TV, I just, you know, I don't roll my eyes, but I do think it's a little funny.
Oh, like it's a point of pride.
It is a point of pride for some people,
you know. I had like a little TV for a while. My boyfriend moved in, now we have a giant TV, like surround sound, and the surround sound kind of bugs me, but having a giant TV and being able to read subtitles, when I watch all my arty foreign films, which happens like once a year now.
I just like being able to see, you know, baseball players' butts up close. I mean, that's my thing. So
that's Zoom.
Not a bad excuse.
But some of the vocabulary you've come up with over the years for doing the blog, like Sanctimommy, the person who doesn't have a TV, like, I would never feed my child formula. Can you talk a little bit about some of the glossary that readers might expect to find?
Well, I think that right now the most popular Sanctimommy post is so funny. It's this woman who, bless her heart, her friend, she actually told the story to a friend over the phone, and her friend, who is a reader of my site, sort of like, I guess, reverse psychology mind fucked her and told her that she should post this on Facebook.
That's evil.
And it is evil. And she was like, I think a lot of parents could probably relate to this story. Oh, and the story is that this woman was at a rest stop with her husband and her baby. And apparently, for some reason, she had to take the baby, who was sleeping, into the bathroom because her husband was walking their dog. It doesn't make any sense at all. But she says that she had asked the teenage girls and their mother, who were in there, not to flush or wash their hands or do anything until she had left the bathroom, which obviously prompts other questions like, was she not going to flush or wash her hands? And then they did flush because they thought obviously she was crazy. And then she complains and she's like, people are so rude these days. There should be rules in rest stop bathrooms.
But, you know, like, I mean, do you think that this kind of behavior is new, or that it's just more promoted, or the combination of the two? Because, I mean, I could not imagine when I was a kid, like, my mom, like, you know, being like, okay, everyone else, my kid's coming in, hold the phone, you know? Like, what do you think is going on here?
I think that there is a very competitive culture for children now that did not used to exist, and it has caused a lot of parents to go into overdrive. You know, they don't want their children to fail. They don't want to feel like they're failing their children, and so
making them hear flushes
by you know, having to force them to figure out how to sleep through a lawnmower, and these are the types of things that do contribute, if you start, I'm assuming, when they're babies, into as they're older. You know, you're the one who's like, no gluten free, you know, every snack has to be gluten free because
no nuts can ever touch this,
right? Which I guess I understand, but again, that's all, it all feeds into it. I think that that's the answer. When you said yes, that is a good measurement, is the barometer to look at. Like, in the 70s, no one was saying you cannot bring, you know, these types of snacks in for your kid's birthday.
Right, and nobody can eat peanut butter and jelly in school
that
anymore.
That is anywhere. That's like a real shift to me. That shows a real shift over time.
These kids need to toughen up.
These kids need to eat some fucking eggs and...
But they're going to toughen up when everybody makes fun of them for having their balls on the internet when they were like 5 months old. So, I mean, it's sort of
But if everyone
thing.
Has their balls on...
That's true. Then does anyone, really.
But are they going to toughen up? Because on the other end of it, you have these kids who are coming out of college and having their parents accompany them on job interviews.
Yes.
So are they going to come? Oh, I mean, like, did you even, you know what I mean? Like, put that through the ringer in your brain for a second. You're so messed up you're so infantile as a 22-year-old that your mother follows you to work and goes, well, I'm not really sure if these guys have a nice enough bathroom for you to even finish this job interview. You know what I mean? Like, directly negotiating your salary.
And if they don't get the job, then the parent will sometimes intervene and say, I just want to understand, why didn't he get the job? And, you know, well,
that's the other end of this whole
I can't
cycle.
Even as a free, you know, as a freelance writer, I mean, you're just like, you know, could you imagine your mom writing your pitches for you?
Yeah. Or just spell checking.
Mara has a great idea.
Please reply.
And I don't want her getting that shitty wage.
Yeah, she's going to come to the interview. I'm making her wear a sweater.
Well, we're going to take a short break right now. We've got, I think, something from Daptone Records. Joe's going to play us out.
Play it.
Maybe.
We'll be right back.
Okay, we're and we're back.
Hello.
Hi, Maura.
Hi, Judy.
One thing that is news to Maura that I just told her was that I only watched the Blair segment on the Ricky Lake show. I didn't see a need to watch the other bits because one of our favorite bloggers was on with her, Julia Allison.
I think she's more of an internet personality.
Yes, she is. No, she doesn't like the word blogger.
Yes.
But Maura and I both have the guilty secret of being big reblogging Donk fans.
Huge. Dun, dun, dun.
I'm coming out. This is a coming out week for all of us.
It really is.
Yeah. It is one of the funniest blogs out there.
It really is. I mean, you know, you have this woman who's, I mean, I have had some personal interactions with her as a former Gawker Media employee.
Oh.
And they were, shall we say, not positive.
Less than pleasant?
Less than pleasant.
But she's so nice.
Well, if she knows who you are and you need, and you're not like just a music writer with weird curly hair, sure, I guess she's nice, you know, but... Dun, dun.
I interned with Julia in 2005.
What did you learn from Julia Allison? That's what I'm curious about.
You know, the thing I will say is that Julia is actually, her whole thing that she puts out there is as sincere as it gets. And even if it comes across as, like, as ridiculous as it is,
it's particularly insincere as psychotic.
And that's what I'm saying. All the good, all the bad, I think she would say totally sincere. Yeah.
She's not faking any of it. Neither the crazy nor the slightly vaguely periodically.
I hadn't seen her in 6 years, and it was funny running into her.
Did you recognize the nose? Sorry, not to be. I'm not body stalking.
Oh, it's just no. Like
there have been a series.
Oh no.
Sorry.
She, you know, I think that she's had a really. It's actually. I think it's kind of better to run into her now than maybe like 3 years ago
when she was happening.
Yeah, I think that would have been a very strange time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch Misadvised?
I did.
Religiously.
Oh my god.
Kidding me?
Spiro, my boyfriend, called it the show where bad people do bad things.
Yes. Very
that
accurate,
is yeah. Perfect.
I only to wonder, be trunked by gallery girls, frankly.
Oh, I haven't watched
I
that.
I couldn't stomach that.
Let's not go there.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Yeah, I mean, I, you know, those sorts of shows, too, like just the date, you know, the dating shows. I mean, I wonder, I kind of feel bad for everyone on them in a way because I feel like there are so many, I know they do, but like the forced scenarios, you know, and the awkwardness that ensues. And then also, you know, no matter how awkward or good something might be, then you're subject to the editors.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I guess they know what they're getting into, but at the same time. What about the children? What about the children?
I think it's really helpful if you use it to your advantage. Like that girl Amy on the show had a book come out right around the end of the show.
Yeah. But she also came off so badly until the last episode. I think Emily came off okay.
I think Emily came off the best. Especially because she told that douchebag he was a douchebag.
Yeah. Ugh, he was awful.
He was
but
awful.
She did do that weird cuddle thing with that creepy dude.
Ew,
at the
party. That's San Francisco, though, right?
Yeah, it's
that's
true.
And he was like, "And this is my lesbian girlfriend."
Yeah, that was very,
very, very strange.
Woo. But as far as parental oversharing, we'll just get off the Julia Allison thing because most people don't really even know who she is. But
that's the meanest thing you could say about her, I think.
Exactly.
It probably, but it's true. Like my boyfriend, he'll look at me when I'm looking at the blog. He's like, "What is that?" He'll see some of the screenshots.
You had to be a diehard fan of Gawker in like 2006 to care about the Julia.
Or interned with her in 2005.
Wait, I still didn't. I think you didn't tell us what you learned from her.
I mean, I learned that. Julia, she's a master at using things to her advantage. So for me personally, I was like, you know, lifting stackable chairs and, you know, like throwing out people's garbage. And Julia was more interested in, you know, like talking to the instructors and making it really, you know, work for her. And I think that she's good at that. You know, she is. But it ends up making it so that if you're interning with her, you're carrying all the stackable chairs.
So you really didn't learn anything.
That's what I learned.
Except the best technique for carrying a lot of chairs.
I learned that if you're going to set up a shitload of chairs, don't do it with Julia Allison.
let's see. Okay, so tomorrow, this is very exciting. You're due to be on the Today Show.
Yes.
Do you know who's going to be interviewing you?
It's still kind of up in the air right now.
Okay.
But I heard that Willie Geist is the going to be the host sitting in.
So you don't get the Ann Romney Today Show week?
No, Matt Lauer is like doing, there's like co-hosts that come in now and sort of rotate out. And then tomorrow will be Willie Geist. And then I'm going to be talking with a woman who's I think coming from a more psychological standpoint regarding oversharing, like why do parents do it? Why is this a phenomenon? And then I'm going to sort of be the other voice in that conversation.
One of the things that surprised me was that people were just like, of course she doesn't have kids, or scandalized, and she doesn't even have children.
I know.
So Brian, what's happening with that?
I think it's, I'm 36, Blair's 30. So I think
younger
that...
Younger woman.
Right, yes. Cradle I know this. Lover. I did the arithmetic on that one. And I think that we're both evolving to a level of maturity that we may be able to have children at some time in the near future.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I do think it's completely ridiculous. It's so irrelevant. It's
absolutely irrelevant.
It's right, peripheral that because you don't have children, you can't
comment on the concept of children.
I think that the thing that gets me is that the parents who respond, mostly it's parents who respond to that negatively. And the parents who do will say, like, oh, well, just wait until she has children. And then, you know,
wait until she posts her kids' balls on the internet.
Right. And I'm thinking, do you honestly think that if I'm the type of person who would write this site, that I'm the type of person that would show my kid chewing on his own shit in the bathtub? Why would I do that?
You know,
I know. I'm sorry, Mara.
I hate
this. Is all before lunch.
No, I mean, well, and also just, I feel like this also speaks to the whole culture of parental narcissism, though, right? Because it's like this whole thing where it's like, well, now that my life has been changed by me having a child, like, obviously you will have the same exact reaction because I am the template for everything. And I think the internet really engenders that sort of tunnel vision where you're just like, this is me and I am reflecting myself and look, everyone is like me.
You're totally right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's in my experience.
But the parental narcissism stems from like a cultural and personal narcissism that we're all suffering from. And that, I mean, not to be really sort of disgusting, but like people forget that we're animals and that like your dog has babies, your fish have babies. Like it's not that revolutionary of a concept.
You are getting so
it's
meta just, on this.
I just think it's important to remember that this is how we all got here. It's not, your kid isn't like Jesus. Like it's okay to remember that we're a sack of blood and guts held together by the tension created by our skin.
Really pare it down, Brian.
I'm just saying, people forget all of they think that their children are like these little treasures when in reality, you know, it's just another...
Yeah, people in comas can get pregnant.
Totally, yeah.
I mean, it's not... The one thing about the gross, like, poop and puke and stuff pictures, the other night, my cat threw up on my feet while I was asleep. And
talent.
Yeah, it really bothered me.
Wow.
And I was thinking, like, all I can think of is getting the puke off my feet and sheets. And I thought, if I were a shut the fuck up parent person, I would be like lighting that stuff, putting it as my Facebook
What's
status
the Instagram
up.
Right. filter that's best.
Exactly.
That best
I think Valencia looks good with that. yeah, that's right. And I have the same thought because I have two cats and one of them is a barfer. And, you know, whenever I clean it up, like, you know, whenever that is, like multiple times a week, I do think to myself, the other day I stepped in it. And you know, again, I'm oversharing about that right now, but it's an anecdote to express the fact that this is not something I would ever write about. It wouldn't even occur to me to post an update about that on social media
and freeze the moment to, like, you know,
right,
memorialize it.
Exactly.
Well, one of the pictures they showed on Good Morning America, they had the turd on the
god.
Okay, so anything poops on me, there's not a photo. Rubbing alcohol.
How do you pause? Hang on, honey. Let's bring the lamp over. Hang on 1 second.
Get the lighting. I was shocked at the examples they showed on Good Morning America.
Like, you blur them out better than they did.
Oh, my God. They took a picture from my Facebook page that I'd posted that was this kid mid-barf. And it's, like, yes, astonishing.
What?
Yeah, I posted it on Facebook because I didn't even want to put it on the blog. And they put it on television. It was amazing.
So do you think also that, like, the rise of shows like Jackass has also made, like, you know, taking pictures of kids mid-barf more okay?
Maybe not more okay, but definitely more, like, people might, I could see why people might go badass.
Right.
You know,
right,
or something like that. Yeah.
I had the privilege of watching a group of 14-year-olds discuss Two Girls, One Cup. And I was like, I really thought that there was no way this could still be floating around the internet. And they're like, oh, yo. And then she, I was like, I'm not going to get into it. But, you know, I was like, really? This you can still, that's still a rite of internet passage, is the watching of Two Girls, One Cup.
It's I've the no, new, not done it.
It's the new joy of sex, I guess.
Apparently, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the book. You don't have photos in it.
No photos. And I think it's actually going to be better that way. I know that it sounds kind of like it might not be because it's not going to be as in your face. But I like that about it. It's more of an encyclopedia of what to do, what not to share. You know, it's broken down into 33 or 34 different category chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And each one has a few different examples of different types of overshare. And I think that it'll stand the test of time to not just have, you know, a picture of a kid with a turd on his head. Because to me, it's like, you know, that's kind of like a one-hit wonder kind of a thing. And,
yep.
I also think it's a little more off-putting. I think it's going to be more widely, received if it doesn't have these, like, really graphic photos.
I think it sounds like the perfect shower gift.
I think so, yeah. Because it's like how not to be a parent on the internet. Like,
yeah.
I think that's really useful because I feel like right now, you know, the internet, like, and social media is such a new frontier that, like, people are still figuring out how to behave. So if this could be, you know, if this could help but one parent,
or just help us as a friend.
Right, exactly.
Right. To teach our friends.
Yeah. Exactly. It's for all those purposes. And I have gotten emails, especially lately, that I have to say are really touching from people who will say, I've been reading your site since before I met my husband, and now we have a child, and we have been reading your site for years, and it's really helped us. I think it's awesome. That's exactly what the book was supposed to do.
Yeah. You're a helper. You're not vicious.
Exactly.
You help people.
Right. People have been joking that I do a public service for a long time, mm-hmm. and now I'm just like, I do a public service,
So you are open to having children, so when you do give birth, I'm sure the video is going to be on your Facebook page.
Absolutely. Live all
stream.
The angles.
I'm going to get a quick camera and
HD.
Live stream it.
You're not going to hire someone? Don't you want a pro?
Well, I'm going to have my own live stream. Of course, we'll have
a
camera crew.
You could also get one of those GoPros and put it on your head. And so, you could get the your eye view.
That's a good
delivery.
Idea.
Let's definitely
do that. I think we should do all those things.
Multiple feeds, for sure. Mm-hmm.
$5, you get one stream, 10, all.
Mm-hmm. We could have somebody live sketching it as well.
Yes. Like a cervix artist. She's at 2 centimeters.
Exactly.
She's at 4.
It'll be like those Georgia O'Keeffe paintings.
Right, your lady orchid will be opening to release the miracle of birth.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, just we only have a couple minutes, but the names the kids get now, like, you cannot name your kid Vagina.
I know, and Vagesty.
Oh,
I got an email from a person.
I have goosebumps.
I know. I got an email from a person saying, congratulations on your book, and I just want to let you know that little Pantene did really well today in preschool, And she was like, just kidding, that's not real. And I said, it's sad because I'm sure someone out there has named their child Pantene.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it softens your hair
in
a really nice way.
It's not a bad salon association.
Ready. Yeah.
The freakiest one to me is the Neva. The heaven backwards.
That is hell.
The
opposite of heaven is hell. Why would you do that?
So it's less.
They call their kids Neva.
Oh, I know.
No, the best thing.
But you're right. Metaphorically, it's hell.
The other day, I got a submission where someone said, I'm thinking about naming my child Neva, however the hell you say it. And then someone wrote, no, name her Heaven because you don't want to be unoriginal or something. Like, it was like Heaven is the new Neva.
Going backwards.
Just name your kid
my
Betty.
Favorite is my favorite one is ABCD, which is ABCDE, which is pronounced Absidy.
Absidy.
And that's a real thing. I know you're looking at me like I'm crazy, but I'm telling you a real thing.
Absidy.
I mean, this is the thing, though. It's sort of like with domain names, kind of. It's like, how all those domain names of the new Web 2.0 services, like, drop a vowel or add some consonants. It's like the sort of domain namization of kids' names, because it's this whole thing where, well, we need to be super original and have something that no one's done before, but then you're just like, oh, it's really kind of...
Yeah, the teacher is going to just be stumped. It's not enough that there's like the Eastern European kids with 10 consonants in a row. Yep. Now there's like imaginative parents.
Or what's the point of naming a child a traditional name with a wacky spelling? That doesn't make any sense to me
either. It makes you really different and special.
Although, actually, I have a cousin whose name is Jeneem, G-E-N-E-E-M. And she's named that because her mother said Janine, but the nurse misheard it. So that's how it's spelled.
Yeah. My last name is misspelled. The rest of my family, my father is supposed to be M-A-G-U-I-R-E.
Oh,
but we're MC.
Yeah.
But yeah, the doctors know
best. I like
best.
It that way,
yeah.
Judy.
Yeah,
I like it that way.
It makes you more special.
I'm totally special.
Camel case.
And We're out of time.
How does this happen?
How does that happen?
It's so... Thank you so much. Maura, I'm sure Mike would agree. You're so much cuter to look at.
Adorable, I would say.
Adorable. Brian, Blair.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
STFUparentsblog.com. Tell me the name of the book again.
Well, the main headline is STFU Parents.
But just go to her blog and you can pre-order it. Every single person who's giving birth in my life, you're getting this book.
Yep, pretty much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks
for having us.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.